Well, praise the Lord, and God bless each one of you. We thank the Lord for the members here at the First Pentecostal Family Worship Center and those that are part of our outreach ministry, as we are now in our 14-day healing journey entitled From Here to There. All of this is leading up to Pentecost Sunday, asking the Lord to bless each one of you to be a part of this 14-day healing journey. We know that the Lord is going to bless. We pray that the Lord will bless each one of you to go online to firstpen.org. Some of you may not be up to speed on all of this, but there are people in your home that will be able to help you. Ask them to help you to log on, or if they have to log on for you, and then you read it and you keep up with it on these 14 days. Or if you can't do that, God will make a way. Maybe you can call one of the other saints and have the other saint to read along with you, or to share along with you, where the other person reads the lesson to you, so that you will be a part of this 14-day healing journey as we head toward Pentecost Sunday. We're asking every member of our congregation to be a part of this 14-day journey. No one left behind. We want each one that's a member of our church to be a part of this great endeavor that we are looking for the Lord to bless and for the Lord to help each one of us in this 14. So I'm just encouraging you. I watch these basketball coaches in the finals and the playoffs and all of these things, how when their team begins to drag or begins to slow up or begins to act as if they're not in the finals, I mean, the coach gets right in their face. He gets right in their face, and he lets them know that they can do better, that you have come this far, and you have come this far because you are a winner. You're not a loser. You're a winner. And as the co-pastor here at First Pentecostal, I'm going to encourage each one of you to be a part of this 14-day journey. I'm expecting for each member of our congregation to be a part of this. I have a passage of scripture. I was in the military, and I know when I was in the military, we were leading up to some wartime things that was happening, and we had to go to France because a lot was going on with Khrushchev in Russia, and President John Kennedy was our president at the time. And I'll tell you, when we were going through those exercises, every man, every soldier was on their post. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 38, it says, "If any man draw back, my soul shall not have no pleasure in him." If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him or her or in them. Today I'm going to talk to you just a little bit about desertion. Desertion. Desertion during spiritual warfare is a capital offense. Desertion during spiritual warfare is a capital offense. Text tells us in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 38 and 39. Also, you can look in 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, verses 3 and 4, and Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. And the takeaway for this message on today, this word of hope on today, is basically in one sentence, and that is, in the kingdom of God, to walk away or to vacate your post in the heat of spiritual battle is not a minor mistake. It's a capital offense against your calling, your covenant, and your commander. When you're in spiritual warfare, and we are in spiritual warfare, the more we teach holiness, the more we teach sanctification, I'll tell you, the deeper we're getting into spiritual warfare. And the gravity of war, every believer is enlisted. Every saint is drafted. Every disciple is deployed. There are no civilians in the kingdom. There are no spectators in spiritual warfare. There are no neutral zones in the conflict between light and darkness. The scripture is very clear. I'm going to read it again in Hebrews 10 and 38. If any man, if any person draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's Hebrews 10 and 38. This is not the Lord being harsh. This is the Lord being holy. This is the Lord being just. This is the Lord being protective of his kingdom and his people. We are in warfare. We're in spiritual warfare because we're in a spiritual war, and desertion is deadly. Desertion is a capital offense, because desertion to the soldier in the army of the Lord, it endangers the entire body. I remember back in the day, they would sing this song, I tell you, till they were just falling out. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm going to stay on the battlefield till I die. Oh yes, they would sing these songs, and these songs would encourage them, inspire them while they were in spiritual warfare. Because when a soldier deserts, the line breaks. When the line breaks, the enemy floods in. Not trickle in, but the enemy can flood in. And when the enemy floods in, casualties multiply. The saints of God, we have to know that our absence is never neutral because we're in warfare. Our silence is never harmless because we are in spiritual warfare. Our retreat is never private because you're not enlisted. I tell you, you have been placed here in this place so that you can be a frontline believer. Somebody's victory is tied to our obedience because it dishonors the commander if we have a drawback spirit. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, the second chapter in verse 3, he tells us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. To desert when you're a soldier to Jesus Christ is to say, I trust the enemy's pressure more than God's promise. I believe the battle more than the commander. What you're saying is, I fear the fight more than I honor the king. So desertion is not just quitting the fight. Desertion is insulting the one who has called us into his marvelous light. When we desert, it breaks the covenant. When we were saved, we didn't just join a church. We entered a covenant. It's a contract with the King of Glory. We pledged our allegiance. We pledged our loyalty. We pledged our faithfulness. And then desertion is spiritual treason. Treason is a capital offense because it empowers the enemy. The enemy celebrates every deserter. The enemy rejoices over every retreat. And the enemy gains ground every time a believer lays down their weapon. If we retreat, the Bible calls it having a drawback spirit. It becomes the enemy's advancement. Let me tell you what desertion looks like today. Not everyone deserts with their feet. Some desert with their faith. Some desert with their mouth. Some desert or have a drawback spirit with their prayer life. Some have a drawback spirit or desert with their commitment, with their integrity, with their worship. Because desertion is not always dramatic. Sometimes desertion is quiet. Sometimes desertion is gradual. Sometimes desertion is disguised as I'm just taking a break. But heaven sees it for what it's worth, because there is a cost of the believer if the believer shifts into a posture of desertion. We lose our spiritual authority because we cannot command demons when we're running from discipline. We have to make sure that we're doing what the Lord has called us to do. The Lord does not resource deserters because there's a loss of spiritual clarity, a retreat. What it does, it fogs the mind. It compromises discernment. It compromises and clouds spiritual discernment. So loss of kingdom assignment is a terrible thing. We have to be on the battlefield. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. We promise him that we would trust him till we die. We're on the battlefield for the Lord. The Lord loves each one of us, but the Lord will reassign our mission if we abandon it in desertion. Well, the good news is that the Lord restores deserters if we return. This message is not about condemnation. This message is a call back to the front lines. Peter deserted. John Mark deserted. The disciples deserted. But they all returned, and God restored each one of them. So the capital offense becomes a capital opportunity when we repent. Heaven is not looking to execute you. Heaven is looking to re-enlist you. Heaven knows how to return our anointing, our power, and our strength once we return back to the front lines. So we have to repent if we've been retreating. Not excuses, not explanations, but repentance. We have to rearm yourself. The Bible tells us to arm ourselves likewise. We have to pick up our spiritual armor again. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the Word of God, and prayer. All of this is going to be happening in these 14 days. And we're looking for each member of our congregation to make sure that you stay on the battlefield for the Lord. Sometimes we have to go back to what the Lord told us to do before we slacked up. We have to reconnect to our spiritual covering. No soldier fights alone. Isolation is the breeding ground of desertion. Isolation is the breeding ground of desertion. You don't win because you're strong. You win because you stay. So there are some signs of spiritual desertion. Desertion doesn't start with the feet. Desertion starts with the heart. Desertion in the heart. That's a loss of holy conviction. Sin no longer stings. Compromise no longer bothers us. Cooling love for the Lord. We have to make sure that we do not diminish our hunger for the Word, our hunger for prayer, our hunger for assembling ourselves in the house of God. A drifting prayer life. Prayer becomes a last resort instead of a first response if or when we have a drifting prayer life. So we have to know that desertion, it begins in the mind. It begins in the heart as well. Doubt, replaces faith, and we question what we once knew with certainty. Confusion replaces clarity. Spiritual fog settles where vision formerly was. Excuses replace obedience. Then we begin to rationalize what we used to repent for. So we start talking about self-preservation. Then we replace our surrender. But I want you to know today, these next 14 days, God is going to bless those that stay on the battlefield for the Lord. We need every member of our congregation to some way, somehow, get this information for these next 14 days. Whenever you're hearing this, until the end, I want you to know we're heading toward Pentecost, and we want the saints of God to be strong, because the enemy is going to be attacking between now and Pentecost. And I want you to know that God is able to do whatever it is that we need for him to do if we do not desert in our behavior. We want the Lord to bless us. Our families are counting on us. Generations to come are counting on us. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are counting on us right now. And I believe God is arming us so that we can be steadfast, unmovable. You've got to stay on that battlefield, and you've got to stay prayed up, and you'll be stayed up in the name of the Lord Jesus. Just wanted to share that 14 or 15 minutes with you on today to let you know that Pastor Hess is stirred up, and I want the people of God that follow this ministry, I want you to be stirred up as well as we head toward Pentecost Sunday in this 14-day journey. Don't forget, Wednesday, May the 13th, and Wednesday, May the 20th at 6 p.m. until 7 p.m., we're going to have in-person prayer at the First Pentecostal Family Worship Center, 4720 Beckley Road. This is our healing journey, and we're having special corporate prayer gathering in person Wednesday, May the 13th, and again Wednesday, May the 20th at 6 p.m. at First Pentecostal Family Worship Center. I'll see you there.